Glory to God. Mr. Bill, you want to come? Hallelujah. Amen. We don't have any announcements today, but we do have one from, hallelujah. And he just reminds us that it's the school year starting. And since he was in the school system for a long time, and still in the school system, go ahead.
You know, I love it. We can't call this the worship team anymore. This is the worship horde. I love it. Love it. Anyway, as he mentioned, this is that time of year school starts earlier than I can recall. And you drive by a school or you walk on a campus, fences, gates. We have campus supervisors driving around a little and so forth. They understand the need for protection. Well, we've got a better protection.
Amen.
So given that power that Jesus vested in us, let's do that. We decree and declare that around every school in San Joaquin County, there is a supernatural hedge of protection. And this is any school, primary, elementary, high school, college, trade school, it doesn't matter. Any weapon formed against students and staff is not going to succeed. It cannot prosper. We declare that. We declare that in the mighty and majestic name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that we can do that. I also encourage you, if you have children or grandchildren or you're a neighbor to a school, get a chance to walk that school. Claim those. You know, wherever you step, you can claim that ground and so forth. And not just for, you know, interference from the outside. How about some of the things from the inside, too? You can decree and declare that. And you can do it, walk that campus.
Amen.
All right. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Yes, for sure. Glory to God. Amen. We need to continually, because we're not going to be any kind of thing. You know, it is sad because, you know, you realize that the very first school shooting ever happened in Stockton. For those of you that don't know that, it happened in 1992 at the Cleveland School. And that at that particular, you know, time when it all happened, it was, you know, pretty crazy. And one of the things, because of that, you know, there was a lot of things that took place. And because of that, you know, shooting, there's a group that I've been involved with since 2008. It's called San Joaquin Area Critical Incident. It was stress team, but now it's support team because nobody likes the word stress. So we have to say support. You're not stressed out. You just need support. Okay, so I've been involved with that and in dealing with just first responders and helping them cope with, we have everybody else coping with everybody else who's the victims of things, but then they're the ones that have to be the first ones on scene. So I help them adjust and figure out if they're okay. And, you know, help them with, you know, just the critical incident stuff and what takes place. So I've been trained to do all of that and help them and been doing that for the 18 years. And we just praise God for just helping them, helping firefighters and police officers and AMR and doctors and nurses and all of those folks. Those are the ones I get to talk to and share with and just help them not cope, but help them understand that they just went through something very, very difficult. And when they're traumatized, sometimes you don't act right. Amen? But thank God, because the Word of God is the best thing. But thank God there is things that we can do and we can learn to do and we can be a blessing and help out. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And of course, the reason I share that with you, because that kind of goes in with our everyday life. Because all of us, you know, we can have difficult things that come. We can have things that come against us. We can have words that come against us. You know, he quoted the scripture that, you know, Isaiah 54:17 that says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But it goes on to say that every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Amen. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. Now, I love that little last part. Their righteousness is of me, because God said, hey, I'll uphold them. Their right standing is my, what I say, you know. But that second part that says that if words are spoken against you, amen, and all of us have had words spoken against us. All of us have had people that have disagreed, amen. There's been words spoken against us. But you know what? What happens is if we don't know that scripture, if we don't know that we have to take authority of it, and it used to be a saying many, many, many years ago, you know, way back even before my time, you know, that sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt me. How many know that's the biggest lie? I mean, you'd rather get hit with a baseball bat than to have somebody keep talking to you all the time, you know, and coming against you. So what I want to share to you is that about our faith is a living faith. And it's a daily faith. And it's something that we have to put into practice daily, because your faith life, your success in Christianity is your consistency. Because God loves consistency more than intense effort. And if you are not doing things daily and doing things consistently, when trauma comes, when adversity comes, and you're trying to get ready, and you're trying to have faith, and you're trying to stand, you're going to have a really hard time. You're going to have a really hard time. You're not going to do that. It's what we do. It's using our faith. I like to say, it's using our faith to live. It's using my faith every single day. Believing for favor. Believing for peace. Believing for a parking place. Now, I'm not going to pick on Pastor Pam. She's precious. But Pastor Pam has to find a place that has shade. So, we usually park 400 miles away because we can walk. And I say, it's good. We're getting our steps in. So now it's all good. Before, I'd be like, just park. But we have to get, she has to get a shady spot. You know, I said, it's all good. So we're good now. But, we get our exercise in. That's a good thing. So I don't have to believe for a parking spot anymore, because I know we're going to have to go look and find one with a shade. I figured, hey, it's all good. So she has to exercise her faith, and she does good. We get them all. They're always with a shade. It's always good. But in Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. It's about lives of people who lived by faith in the midst of all of the craziness that they had to go through. Because there's three words that, in looking over this and studying this over the past 47 years, there's some understandings about faith, because most people only know Mark 11, 23 and 24 about a faith that I can have, faith to receive. They only know about triumphant faith. And thank God for triumphant faith, which means you triumph over all the obvious and you're believing God. Amen? I mean, thank God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says that God always causes us to triumph and manifest the savor. In fact, just to turn over there, I can quote it to you. You guys all just look at it. Go ahead and go over to it. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He said, well, you didn't read in the Hebrews. I know, but that's okay. I'm allowed. We'll get back to there. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You don't even have to hold your place if you want. But anyways, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says this. It says, now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. I like what one person said. Smells like victory to me. Smells like victory to me. It says, now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. How many of you know that when you read a scripture or the word of God, that it doesn't do any good if you don't mix faith with it? Now, go with me if you would over to Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to get to Hebrews 11, I think, we'll believe. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 2. Next, let's look back up and do verse 1. He said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, that any of you should seem to come short of it. Isn't that an amazing statement? Man, let us fear these promises and that they're not going to come to pass, that I'm not going to reach what God has for me, that what God said is mine, the promises in the Word of God, they need to come to pass in my life. Amen? Amen? He goes on to say this. He said, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Because not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. See, it takes faith to please God. Amen? It was not mixed with faith in them that heard it, so it didn't do anything. It didn't produce anything. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 now. We just set you up for these things here. Why is it so vitally important? Because the most important thing in your life is what you do consistently and what you do daily. It really is. You know, we want to be okay, I need it now. Let me find out what it is. Oh, I know it's in there. I got to get it. And then we want to try to apply it instead of applying it every day so that it becomes natural to say, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And every word that's been spoken against me, I get to condemn. I get to take authority. Say, it's not going to hold me captive. Amen? Isn't it amazing how words hold people captive? It is so amazing, you know? And it's so funny. One of my favorite little stories that I have about that is that, you know, I used to take my staff out, not here, but back in Pittsburgh, take my staff out at times. Of course, here we take our staff out too, but take them out. We went to a restaurant, and so we went into the restaurant one time, and one of the guys says, don't eat the, you know, I forget what kind of soup it was, don't eat that kind of soup. And the secretary that I had at that time was like, man, I really like that soup. Bummer. I really like that. It's a bummer. And then that restaurant had really good food. So we actually would go back to, finally, after about the third or fourth time we went there, she told the guy, well, why can't you eat that soup? He goes, oh, I don't know. I've never had it, but I don't like that kind of soup. And then she was frustrated. I mean, I got the whole commotion there. She was pretty, I said, well, you should have asked in the very beginning, well, why don't I like that kind of soup? It's like, hey, I can't help that. You know, here we go. But words, we'll listen to a word or we'll hear something and it causes problems. Amen? And anything that robs you of your faith or robs you of your peace or robs you of your joy, you have to take authority over. And you do have to take authority over those words. You can't just say, oh, you got to say, I take authority over those words. They're not going to have resonancy in my mind. They're not going to have resonancy in my thought life. You say, oh, you know, but we see that so many times in people's lives, you know, because they'll start speaking negatively. They'll start speaking despairingly, or they'll just start speaking doubt and unbelief. Amen? Now look at verse 6. We're going to jump back to verse 1. But verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, but without faith, it is impossible. Everybody say impossible. The writer of Hebrews, which I believe was Paul, he said, but without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that God is, number one, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, what happens to us is that we look at things, and like I said, this triumphant faith, because triumphant faith changes circumstances, and we need it. We need to change the circumstances around us. We need to know that everything around us is temporal. While we look not at the things that are seen, amen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Which is looking by, because everything that was made by God speaking it into existence. Hallelujah. So everything was made naturally by spiritual things. So the most real thing is spiritual more than even the natural. And yet as the body of Christ, yet as the church, and yet as we're more conscious of natural things. We're more conscious of our soulish realm, our thoughts, because that's what rules us and guides us. And yet God said that your spirit is the real you. God said that your spirit is the real you. That man that got born again, that man that got changed is the real you. Yeah, you still got a body and you still got your mind. But that's why the Bible tells us we got to renew our mind on the word of God. Amen? But if it's impossible to please God without faith, then we probably ought to get some. We probably ought to have some. You know, we probably ought to know what it is and how to use it and take hold of it and really say, okay, Lord, show me, you know, show me this. Amen? But you'll never really have a great triumphant faith until you have a transitional faith. Thank you for your overwhelming response. So I said, what the heck is transitional mean? It means you transferred from one place to the other and you know it. You know that you've been taken out of darkness and put into light. You've been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and put in the kingdom of light. Amen? All right, go to Colossians. Y'all not, go to Colossians. Y'all think I'm making it up. Go to Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. I know y'all know your Bible. I know you all know these things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's good things. I just want to remind you that the scriptures is there. Hallelujah. The word of God is there. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God means that you hear it. But see, you can hear the same word, but if you don't put faith, if you don't mix faith with it, someone says, well, how do I mix faith with it? You believe it. And you know that you believe it because you say it. And not only do you know that you believe it because you say it, because you act on it. Yes. Yes. Amen. You act on what the word of God declares and you begin to say what God says other than what the circumstances around you are saying. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We know triumphant faith changes the circumstances. The problem is we won't have a strong faith toward that if we don't understand transitional faith. If we don't understand who we are in Christ, that we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. And now let's look at verse 10. And we could go all, he says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Man, isn't it amazing? God wants us to be fruitful at everything we do. Fruitful. I mean, not just halfway, not just a little bit, not just get by, but fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's a big key. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet or made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13 is where I wanted to get to in verse 14. Who has, King James says hath, but who has, that means past tense, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. I love the Apostle Paul. I love what he said. We have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's what? He's a new creature, a new creation. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. Verse 18, the very first part says, and all things are of God. When you begin to know that you're a new creation, see, transitional faith or transformational faith, I should say, this, you know, what it does is that it changes you. When you, I mean, I don't know about you, when I got born again, and I got born again as a child, you know, everybody else, you know, all the other kids around me, they were like, oh, you know, because I was excited, I was happy, I was full of joy, and I start talking about everything, talking about the Lord. And they were all like, you know. But hey, the funny thing about it is that didn't bother me at all. So I said, well, what if they didn't like you? Most of them didn't like me anyways, so it didn't matter. But, you know, the thing about it is that when you know that Jesus is your Lord, and you know that you've been born again, that you truly have gotten peace on the inside of you, that you've got joy, and that you've got a relationship with God, that changes everything. It doesn't matter if somebody disagrees. Amen? I mean, transformational and transitional, when you begin to understand things, but really, man, the person that I see in the Bible that got transformed probably more than anybody else was Peter. I mean, before Jesus, he's like, you know, Peter's opening his mouth, sticking his foot in it all the time. You know, he's like, he's bragging about everything. He's saying how great he is, you know, and Jesus says, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows twice. And he does, you know, then he runs off. So Jesus appears to him three times. But the funny thing about it is when Peter was bragging one time, Jesus said, Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. He says, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. And I've prayed that your faith fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. Amen. Amen? So we see Peter before Pentecost, and then we see Peter after Pentecost. Man, he's up there preaching, teaching. We see him before, you know, they're getting caught. Him and John are getting arrested. This is what's happening. I mean, we see Peter, all these things here. We see a totally transformed person. I mean, totally changed. Totally changed. He was in person with Jesus for 3.5 years and didn't change hardly at all. He was in the presence of the Lord, hearing and being taught and doing things, and he didn't change. Amen? He gets the Spirit of God on the inside of him. He gets born again. He gets changed. Bam! All of a sudden, he's a powerhouse. He's not hiding. He's not a wimp. He's not denying. He's not afraid. Amen. Amen. See, we as Christians, sometimes what happens is that I'm amazed that for those, especially they're ashamed of being a Christian or ashamed of Christianity, you know, because the world looks at this and the world says and the world's want to, you know, say all these crazy things. And it's so weird to me because being a Christian is the greatest thing in all the world. Being born again and a child of God, that's what I am first. You know, I am that first. I'm a child of God. He's my Father. Glory to God. I know my calling is to be a pastor. My calling is to do those things. But thank God for that. But my first calling is I get to be a Christian. I get to be a child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know my famous saying when people ask me, and I've had people ask me all the time, why are you so happy? And I tell them, you're one of those. And I'm like, you're not? You're not? You're walking around without this? You're walking out without joy, without peace, without, you know, they try to stammer and stutter. They try to make things up. They do because they're miserable. You know, and misery loves company, so they want you to accompany them. Amen. Amen. See, if you look at what, you know, Paul said that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul also says something really unique in Galatians 2:20 about transformational faith and about what took place. He said, you know, it is no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Amen? And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What an amazing scripture. What an amazing scripture. You know? Before that, he says, I've been crucified with Christ. Yet I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Amen? Christ lives in me. I think if we get up every morning and say, you know what? Christ lives in you. Look in the mirror and say, Christ lives in you. You better act like it. Christ lives in you. You better act like it. Christ lives in you. You better act like it. All right? The greater one lives in you. You better act like it today. Hallelujah. Amen. Because we have this tendency, excuse me, that faith is just simply for things. Or faith is to believe God so I can get well. But God desires for you to believe God to change circumstances. God desires for you to believe God for things. But God desires for you to know that your faith is working for you, because if it works at home, you can ship it abroad. Amen? Amen? When you know it works in you, because it changed me. Because it transformed me. Amen? It transformed me. And when you understand the transformation, what an incredible blessing. Hallelujah. What an incredible thing. Romans 12, you know, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Amen? Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, which in the King James says, which means it's your spiritual worship. But Romans chapter 12:2 says, and be not conformed. Amen. Be not conformed to this world. Amen. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect good and acceptable will of God. Amen. He said, be transformed. Be changed. See, when you're changed and you know how much faith has changed you and how much it's ministered to you and how much it's blessed you because of your trust in God. Yes, amen? Hallelujah. Then you can have triumphant faith, you know. But before even triumphant, there's another T. You know, triumphant faith, transformational faith, and then this one here, I like to call it this. This is called transcending faith, which simply means that though you think God's mad at you, you still love him. Job said it like this, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. What a crazy word. What a crazy thing. Someone says, what the heck does transcending mean? Well, transcending, I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary, and one of the definitions, which is really cool, it says, transcending means you rise above the negative or the hard conditions. See, transcending faith says, I have faith toward God. And it's a doctrine. See, in Hebrews chapter 6, we could go, Hebrews chapter 6 says, we'll leave the principal doctrines of Christ if God permits. Which is what? Which is repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Amen? There's six of them. And they're the fundamental principles of the doctrines of Christ that everybody needs to know and how to walk free, how to walk in this. Because when you know those, you're not afraid to die. You're not afraid to live. You're not afraid of anything. Because God's got it. Amen? But one of them is faith toward God. Amen? Mark 11, 23 and 22 says, have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. Which is how to receive and how to do and how to speak things into existence and speak. That's triumphant. But transcending faith is simply, it helps you rise above when everything's going wrong, nothing's working, seems like my faith is lost and victory is lost and ain't nothing working. Woo, I love you, Father. I can still trust you. I can honor you. Why? Because I know, hallelujah, that I've been changed. I still have a new birth. I've been transformed. Amen. I've been born again. I went from death to life. Amen. Glory to God. I've had this. This is great. This is what I have. Hallelujah. It's able to rise above when all things don't seem to be working. When your prayers are not being answered. Amen. Because we know, Job thought it was God that was doing everything against him. Job thought that it was God that was causing all the problems. Because, you know, his wife said, hey, listen, you need to curse God and die. He's tested down everything. And Job said, you talk like a foolish woman. I mean, he's my only hope. Amen? But it's kind of funny. When Job said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. The next part of that verse says this, but I'm still going to try to justify myself in your sight. I'm still going to try to tell you that I tried to do it. I thought I did everything. I'm going to try to tell you, hey, I don't think I'm as bad as you think I am. Amen. I don't know about you, but that gives hope for me because I'm always trying to tell God, I see it ain't working, but it should have because it was a good thing. Now, let's figure out why. You know, it's like, hey, you know. So why is it so important to understand this? Why? Because you can get frustrated when you're believing God, exercising your faith, you've got your scriptures, you're endeavoring to do stuff, and you say, why is it not working? Because the Word of God works. Why is it not producing the results in our lives that it should? Amen. You know, signs follow the Word of God. The Word of God produces results. What do I need to do to get it to do? And I always go down this list. And the reason I go down this list is because I want to make sure, and like I said, transformational faith is where I always start because I've always gone back to square one. What do we know? What do we know? What's that? I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. I know that. I have faith to believe that if I died today, I would make heaven. I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I still believe that. Even though I had an experience, you know, when I died 6 months ago, just 2 days ago was my 6 month birthday of being back alive, of having a heart attack. So praise God. And I thank God for that. But anyways, you know, I was reiterating my testimony, and because people always ask that. So, and they asked me, well, do you have an out-of-body experience? The only out-of-body experience I had was when I died, I was out of my body watching the guys lay me on the ground and try to do CPR. Then I watched the firemen come and put the machine on me and get that going. Then I watched the AMR guys pick it up and put me in the ambulance. And then once they closed the door of the ambulance, you know, I'm standing here and I'm watching everybody, and that's me. And the first thought of my mind is while I'm doing this is, Lord, wait a minute. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. How come I'm not present with you? Did I miss it? Did I mess up? What the heck is going on? Now, you may not have thought that, but I know the word of God. I know the scripture. So I'm like, Houston, we got a problem. Serious. Okay. You know, because I'm okay with being dead. I'm just not okay with not being with you. I mean, I didn't have any, there was not trauma. There was not anything. It was just, this is pretty, this is interesting. That's me. And that's, you know, here we go. And look at this. This is pretty cool. What's going on? You know, some said, well, what did the, well, simply this, I wasn't supposed to go. You know, I'm not, so he made sure I didn't go up to be with him because I would have stayed. So he was smart. He was smart. You know, he's like, no, if I give you anything, you know, really great, supernatural, all this kind of stuff, you're going to think, okay, I just need to take off. So I'm saying, nope, you're right. I'm glad. We didn't want to do that. So I stayed, you know. But, you know, in that, and that's the only thing that I remember until, praise God, 8 days later that I woke up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we thank God for that. But, you know, the wonderful thing, too, about that is, too, just a little side journey, is that when I did wake up and I did find out what happened, because I didn't know what happened, and I couldn't believe what happened is, okay, I need to get my faith in the mix. Because if I'm here, then I'm going to be well and whole and strong, and I'm going to figure out how to walk again. I'm going to figure out how to do everything again, figure out what to do. And as you can see today, after 6 months, I'm doing quite well. And, you know, everything is cognitive. Everything is good. But the wonderful thing is because of the relationship that I have with the Lord, is that, well, praise God, I'm still here. I know I'm still saved because of what the Word says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And now I've got to use triumphant faith. But in the midst of all this negative conditions, I mean, I have such a heart. I have a heart for anybody that's, you know, in that situation that just gets in a position where they can't function. Or I have a heart for anybody getting old and your body doesn't want to do what it wants to do. Glory to God. You know, we can take authority over that. I know you got to be tough to get old, praise God, but some of that stuff is ridiculous. But somebody said, well, you know, we saw you, yeah, you saw me getting wheeled out in a wheelchair. You saw the video. But when I got home, I thought I was, you know, going to be able to do everything. I don't need a walker. I don't need any help. I don't need nothing. I'm good, you know. And the first time I got up from the chair to go use the restroom, you know, I realized, ooh, I'm not as good as I think I is. I'm in really bad, so I'm basically walking along the walls, holding myself up until I get into the restroom, and then I don't know if I passed out or just fell. I just fell, hit the toilet, snapped the lid off, and fell between the bathtub and the toilet, stuck, and going, oh my gosh, this is what everybody says. I've fallen and I can't get up. Holy cow. And literally, I can't pick myself up. I can't do anything. And in my mind, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, because Pastor Pam had left to go get all of the medications, all this stuff. And she told me, don't do it. Sit in that chair. But you all know I made a real big mistake the first, coming out of the hospital. You didn't see that there. We were kind of faking it. I made a real big mistake and we were coming out of the hospital because she was telling me all, and she was just being real bossy and telling me everything. And I looked at her out of my sitting in the wheelchair. Listen, I almost died, but I didn't. So you're not the boss. But that was a lie too. So, you know, it all changed. I've humbled myself. It's all good. And that's why I'm healthy today, because I repented to my wife, okay? But I share that story with you, and I share that because of this. Because if you don't understand this right here, transformational faith, that my relationship with God was dependent upon mine and his relationship, not what he could do for me, not what he has done for me. And because I had faith to know that these negative circumstances, these hard conditions, these everything that I'm going through, he's going to be with me in it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are my rod and my staff, and you comfort me. You're going to show me. I'm going to get stronger. I'm going to do this. God, Lord, direct me. Show me what I need to do. Let's do this and how I do it. But I had to do that because the secret of this, the secret of when something like that comes at you, hits you like a ton of bricks, is that, wait a minute, I've been feeding my faith. I've been exercising my faith in everyday things. And so I thought, well, we're going to exercise it now. We're going to exercise our faith to squeeze our hands, to get strength, because I lost 25 pounds. I lost all my muscle. Literally. I mean, it's funny. You know, the Saturday before, I'm carrying 50-pound kettlebells, and I'm going, you know, 300 and some odd feet, 300 yards, and running with them, having fun. And now, 8 days later, that, you know, following, of course, that Saturday, I was still in the hospital. Then I got out that following Wednesday, and I'm like, okay, I need to start doing, because I can't, nothing. I have no strength. So but I can't even pick up 5 pounds. I can't. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. A two-year-old could pick these up. What are we doing? I said, but I'm going to be able to. I am going to be able to. We're going to do this. You know, I just kept speaking to my body and speaking to the things that we're going to do. We're going to get, and praise God. And that's why, you know, continuing to do that. But if you don't know how to do that, you can throw up your hands and go, well, God, why did this happen to me? I don't understand. What, Lord, I don't know why it happened to me, except that I had a big blockage. My whole artery, I had the widowmaker, had the whole, whatever gives 70% of your blood to your heart, was completely clogged. Why? I don't know. Probably had to be something. You know, they quite haven't figured out what it is. But they still don't know, you know. They ran all these tests. They've told me my cholesterol is perfect, my calcium is perfect, everything about you, you know, you have nothing. Right now, all the tests, I'm back to perfectly, and I thank God for those tests and everything. Of course, everybody else won't say, well, you had to have something. I'm sure I had to have something. I mean, I like my donuts. I like chocolate cake. You know, I like ice cream, okay? I like chips. And I was the kind of guy that, you know, when I ate donuts, I ate a box of donuts. You know, when I ate chips, I ate a whole big old bag sitting there watching or doing things, you know? I like things. I mean, I didn't do anything in moderation. Hallelujah. So, you know, so I deserve it, but I didn't mean to deserve it, okay? Someone says, well, now I get no sugar and no salt, so praise the Lord. I'm thanking for those 66 years beforehand that I got to have sugar and salt, because the future doesn't look too bright, but we're okay. No, it's all good. There's all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of things out there. Amen? Let's get back to the message here, okay? Hallelujah. Quit picking on me. But I know I use myself as an example, because when you go through this, if you don't understand transcending faith, when you go through a test and a trial, you're going to think, where did I miss it? What did I do? You're going to think, God's just, where is God in this? Where is this? I don't understand this. What's going on? I'm confused. Because it's really hard to trust God when things are not working and nothing's happening. Amen? It's really, but can we? And you can when you understand, I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. I know that. Thank God, I'm going to take hold of this. And it's like, man, because I've been transformed. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I had to begin to agree with the Word of God. I had to agree with what God's Word says. And then I kept telling myself with triumphant faith, I'm going to walk again. I'm going to get stronger. I'm going to be able to do all the things I needed to do. I'm going to be able, hallelujah, to work out again. I'm going to be able to exercise. Maybe not as crazy as we did before, but we're going to do it at least enough to know that, hey, I feel good about me. Amen? That I'm able to work, that I'm able to lift things, you know. And I am. And that's the wonderful thing about it. It was one step at a time. Man, I wish it would have been, oh, glory to God, got all my weight back, got all my muscle back, you know. But it's been a process. Amen. And, but I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. And it's all because of him. Yes. And it's all because of the word. It is all because of the word. See, the Bible tells us that all through the Paul's epistles, he tells us that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. I mean, he tells us that all through the New Testament. Why is that so important? Because it's our total trust in God. Amen? Because just like I said, it's very difficult to get your faith strong if you haven't been using it every day. Amen? I mean, if you don't stay physically doing things, it's hard to do that. It's our daily life. And here's the thing, too. Let me just share this. We're going to close on this. I'm going to get you out just a little bit. Is that never underestimate an act of faith, even if it's the littlest thing. You know, we always want to do big things. We always want to have to, okay, what do I need to do? I want to use my faith on this. I'm going to believe God for this. You know, I was in a situation where, okay, I have to start over as a new person. I have to start over. So there's nothing about here, you know, I mean, I got to believe God I'm going to be able to stand first. Amen? Amen? But really before that, I'd heard a message many, many years ago, and it was called this. It was called face up, sit up, and then stand up. And so the first thing I had to do was face up. Dude, you are in trouble. Amen. This is something you've never had to face before in your entire life. You have to face up that I need God's help. I need his wisdom. I need his strength. I can't have an attitude. I can't get to thinking, hey, I'm just going to, you know, want to fight this thing through. No, I'm going to have to use some wisdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Because of just what happens, you know, what you have there. So I had to begin to say, okay, Lord. Here's how do we handle this? How do we deal with this? What are we doing? Amen. But I'm facing up. And I'm looking at it. And I don't know all things. I don't know. I'm just going to pretend I don't know anything. I'm going to trust you in all this. You know. And then I had to sit up, which simply means not time to do anything else but sit up. So I sat in my chair. Got my Bible. Got things. Sat there. But took hold of the Word of God. I sit up first. Then when I could stand up, I said, all right, glory to God. I stand up and I'm standing up in faith, but I'm standing up believing that I can do the things. And what do I mean by that? Is that most of us want to stand up, run and do and just everything be fine. Got to do this instantaneous thing like the man in the New Testament where Peter reaches down and grabs his hand and lifts him up and his feet and ankle bones receive strength and he goes walking and leaping and praising God into the temple. Well, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to jump up and start walking and leaping and praising God. Amen. But he didn't let me. And we feel like we're cheated if it doesn't. But that's where we take one step at a time. We just take one step at a time, one thing. And you never, ever underestimate an act of faith of just one thing. Oh, praise God. Amen. I can do this. You know, I can sit, I can do this, okay, all right. Hey, I can stand up for 2 minutes. You know, before I could just stand up and then I sit back down. I have to rest, but then I can stand up. I'm standing up, I'm gonna stand up a little longer. Amen. It's crazy, because you think, oh, well, are you ever gonna get well again? Absolutely, because God's word is so. Amen, hallelujah. And here's the thing, too. I believe that every act of faith that me and you do is recorded in heaven. God's got a book of exploits. Because the Bible says in Daniel, it says, they that do know their God will wax strong and do great exploits. God's going to do things. He's going to stir up the things of God. He's going to stir this up. Hallelujah. Because there's your book. Remember I shared about everybody, one of us has a book. And our book's being written. And I know that God added to my book. He said, oh, it's an, and I didn't think I was going to have that chapter. But praise God, I got that chapter. And I'm excited about that. Hallelujah. Because God declared that we have faith. But if you'll understand, man, I've got this. I've got faith to believe that what God said he can do. And I'm going to trust him. I also know that I've been changed from death to life, glory to God. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I have faith. I have triumphant faith to believe, to receive. And then we can take mountains. Amen? That's God's desire for our heart. That's why faith is so vitally, vitally important. And it's simply believing and trusting that what God's word says is so. Man, I didn't even get off one page of notes. But that's okay. Let's pray. Bow your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we honor you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for these amazing, amazing folks that are here. Father, I pray before I have an altar call, before I do anything, I pray for the body of Christ at Harvest Bible Church. And I pray, like Jesus prayed over Peter, I pray that their faith fail not. Father, I pray that you strengthen them by your Spirit. Let them understand that they are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Let them understand that no matter what they're going through, no matter what negative or difficult condition or hard condition or how bad it is, Father, you're there in the midst. You're there with it. You said you would never leave them nor forsake them. You are totally with them in it. And you're going to strengthen them and you're going to deliver them out of it. Amen. Father, thank you for answering their prayers, what they're crying out to you. Thank you for triumphant faith. Thank you, Father, that thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, that their faith works. And when I say it works, Father, is that they trust you and that you are honoring your word in their lives. You are honoring your word in their lives. And it doesn't matter how old they are, doesn't matter how young they are, your word is honored in their lives in Jesus' name. Father, we speak the word. You sent your word and healed us. We speak the word. We speak what the word and we agree with the word and we put our faith, we mix faith in the word of God. We trust you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And this is just the ground floor. This is just the beginning to build upon that because our faith can be built up. Lord, I do. This has been a message for the body of Christ this morning. But Lord, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, there's always my heart for people to know Jesus. Jesus loves you so much. He came, he died, he loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Which means Jesus already died for the whole world. He's already died for all of our sins. God loves you. I love you. I really do. There's a love in my heart for people. But if you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or you may have, but you've fallen away from God and you need to come home, or you just need to know, Lord Jesus, I want to know that if I died today, I'd make heaven. What a blessing. What a joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So if you're here and you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to come back home. I want to come back to God and know that he's accepted me. Because I can tell you that he loves you and I can tell you that he has. Just raise your hand. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we honor you today. I pray once again for Harvest Bible Church. I do. I thank you, Father, that our faith won't fail because you've given us, each and every one of us, the measure of faith is what your Romans says. But Father, also, you said we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, they believed and therefore they spoke, we also believe and therefore we speak. So we declare your glory. We declare that we trust you. We declare that we love you. Thank you, Father. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy that goes forth. Thank you for these wonderful folks here and all those that have been watching this whole time too. Lord, thank you for touching their lives. And Lord, it's in Jesus' wonderful name that we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to have our prayer team come forward. And then, so let's all stand up. If you need prayer for anything, these folks are awesome. I love you. God loves you. Be blessed. We'll see you guys next week.